Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. So I'm going to sit down in my first pew where I've been preaching and gather with you. I sometimes look through that camera and I wonder if you're wearing pajamas or I doubt any of you are dressed up very much. God cares about how we dress our hearts, though. Clothe yourselves with compassion. That's what Paul says in Colossians. So I look through that camera and I see your shining faces, and I will tell you, you are beautiful. We gather today around a continuation of Jesus' words to us in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. So listen for John's word to us from the Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. We covered this kind of last week, but we're looking at it again this week. So listen for the word of the Lord. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A week ago, I backed into my mailbox and knocked it down. And after the word got all around the country, two neighbors who did not live in my immediate neighborhood came over with tools, power tools, and know-how. And now I have a cedar mailbox post and a black mailbox, which I bought but would have had a very difficult time to install. And these neighbors out of the blue helped me with my son. A church member knew how recent headlines had really upset me a great deal, so she brought over to me with social distancing, her copy of the book Waking Up White, hoping that I would channel my frustration to good. As the walls were closing in this week and the sky was lowering, my son insisted that we play ping pong. And that night, for several hours, our garage was an oasis. The sweetness had gone out of life. About that time, somebody shows up, a delivery person with cupcakes. We're not even sure who they're from. And then another couple brought by a hallowed gift card from Jarling's Custard Cup. I see the hand of God in each of these expressions of grace. I know that God is working through the world, and in these cases, working through my life. God has used my steps and aligned my steps with others, with yours. And for a while we have walked in stride, side by side. It's the grace of God at work. John's gospel says Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus says that himself through John's gospel. Jesus is a good shepherd, and that's good news. Thanks be to God. The psalmist uses these words. We went through fire and through water, and yet you brought us to a spacious place. The psalmist in Psalm 66, verses 8 through 12, that was verse 12 of that passage, says this. I'd like to read it to you. I particularly love that verse 12, though. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. Here the psalmist describes having weathered a difficult storm, a hard time, through hardship, through trial and testing and tribulation, but has been brought out to a wide, spacious place. This is how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this passage, and I love what Eugene says about it. Bless our God, O peoples. Give him a thunderous welcome. Didn't he set us on the road to life? Didn't he keep us out of the ditch? He trained us first, passed us like silver through refining fires, brought us into hard scrabble country, pushed us to our very limit, road tested us inside out, took us to hell and back. Finally, he brought us to this well-watered place. Eugene Peterson calls it a well-watered place. The New Revised Standard Version says it's a spacious place, a wealthy place. That's how the King James Version of the Bible puts it. And the Good News Bible says a place of safety. But we get it. We get it. God plucks us from the difficulty or walks with us through the difficulty and leads us to a spacious place, a safe place beside the still waters. Lying down on green pastures and beside still waters, God restores our soul. That's the 23rd Psalm, right? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is a good shepherd. The Good Shepherd leads us to places of rest, green grass, still water. But we know that life is still hard. Life is a series of ups and downs. Sometimes the ups are just lovely and beautiful and joyful. And sometimes the downs are very dark and frightening. And also they sometimes are joyful too, in a deeper, more abiding sense of what joy really is. Joy is knowing that you're not alone, and that's good on the mountaintop, but that's good in the valley too. The Good Shepherd leads us. And we know that though God is with us and we need not fear, as Jesus says, life can still be hard. No, the pandemic is not easy. And yes, we lament the things we've had to give up for now. Handshaking, hugging one another, having dinner together, being able to play with your neighbor's children. All the spring rituals we're missing that for some of us who have grown beyond these places, they don't seem so important to us. But if we pause and think about it, they're monumental. Things like proms and the concluding season of baseball and volleyball and golf and all those things that we do, particularly through our grade school and high school years and college. Whole seasons have been canceled. These are not easy losses. They are like a weight, and we carry those burdens. I miss movies. I miss going out and getting spaghetti. Some have suffered, we've all suffered a little bit, of course, but some have suffered tremendously, tremendously. And some are still suffering, and some will suffer way more than we ever will. We carry that with us. We know it's good news that God is with us and that we need not fear, but the hardship of life is, it's hard. So, yes, we've found ourselves in hard times. melting in the fires of life, to use the psalmist's words, hoping that the silver that remains really shines, but not liking the process one bit. The pandemic is bringing the best out in us. The pandemic is also bringing out the worst. Tensions rise. The murder of Ahmaud Arbery makes me wonder, and I've shared with this with you in my letters during the week, it makes me wonder if the cracks that once divided us are not widening to the point that we're all going to be swallowed up. Now, I know that's not true, but it's important for me to say it, that those cracks are indeed widening, I think, and well, we won't be allowed to destroy this place we love, but sometimes it feels like we're close. Sometimes it feels like we do ourselves such a terrible service in these cycles of despair that get deeper and deeper. The pandemic brings out the best in us, but it brings out the worst. The words of Eugene Peterson come to mind, that we are being road tested inside and out, that God has taken us to hell and back. We look forward to being brought to those wide, spacious places. The pandemic is turning up the heat. For all of us, we're just impatient. We're more impatient. We want to get back to life. And of course, our businesses need to get back. They can't last forever. So we have public health and our economy, so many things on the balance, and we're just impatient. Mr. Arbery was a 25-year-old black man taking a jog through his own neighborhood in Brunswick, Georgia. It was a predominantly white neighborhood, and he's a black man. But he was killed there by two men in broad daylight while he was jogging. Adam Serwer, writing for The Atlantic, wrote that Georgie Barnhill, the prosecutor in Brunswick, Georgia, where the murder happened, concluded that no crime had been committed. Mr. Arbery had, and I'm quoting here, tried to wrest a shotgun from Travis McMichael before being shot. The two men had seen a stranger running, Arbery running, and decided to pick up their firearms and chase him. They had therefore acted in self-defense when they confronted and shot him, Barnhill concluded. As video of the shooting emerged on social media, a different Georgia prosecutor announced that the case would be put to a grand jury. The two men were arrested 6 weeks after the crime and charged with murder after video of the incident sparked national outrage across the political spectrum. People on the left and people on the right are appalled. And we all watch the news and know that we are in the fire, a fire that we have made ourselves. And while some of us are watching the Great British Baking Show on PBS, I am, others are risking their lives apparently by just taking a jog through their neighborhood in broad daylight. Eugene Peterson might say that we're being road tested through hell and back across hard scrabble roads. Our prayer is, at least my prayer is, O God, deliver us. O God, help us. Lead us quickly through the fire. Pluck us surely out of the rising waters. Lead us to that spacious place, that well-watered place that our ancestors, on which they have found rest, O God, comfort us in that place. We long to be together, all of us together in that place. I suppose this is a conversation about the new heaven and the new earth, the day when there will be no tears and no sorrow or sighing. But this is also a call for us to think about our present tense, to think about where and who we are right now, our circles of influence, where we are and how we're living. I want you to imagine for me, or for yourself really, imagine that spacious place. Where would that be in your mind? If you do what Gyp says and center yourself and breathe in God's grace and breathe out the world's woe, where do you find yourself? Where does that take you? When I dream of my hometown in Hampton, Virginia, along the Chesapeake Bay. And if I had the opportunity to take you to a spacious place, I'd take you to Factory Point through the woods and the dunes there at Grand View, where the Back River empties into the Chesapeake Bay. It's spacious and it's beautiful. Some of you, when you think of that spacious place for you, you see mountains. So go there. Allow yourself to sit there as the mountains are greening and the snow is melting away. Some of you, you find that spacious place in your local parks, at Westside Park, me at Hessel Park. Imagine that spacious place. Our job as Christian people is to celebrate that place, to take care of it, to dream about it, to look forward to that place. Ultimately, that's a heavenly place, isn't it? Our job is to make room for that space in our own neighborhood, for me somehow to bring a bit of that calming peace of the Chesapeake Bay right over to Hamilton Drive, and for you to bring the serenity of those mountains right to where you live. Our job is to reach out across the divide so that everybody gets to join in the same picnic on the same wide lawn. Our job, at the very least, is not to get in the Good Shepherd's way as he invites all of creation to come together and to be together as one people, no dividing walls, no hostility, but just a joyful dance of life. Our job certainly is not to get in the Good Shepherd's way as he welcomes us all to a little piece of heaven on earth. Our job is to say to Ahmaud Arbery's family that we grieve with them and we're sorry for them. And that's the easy part. Our job also is to stand with them. To stand with them when we'd rather sit down or when we'd rather slink away from the spotlight and not partake or get involved because it's political or it's dangerous. No, our job is to stand. With that family. And we can do it from our own living rooms, from our own telephones, from our own pads of paper, from our own knees as we pray. So we pledge our job as Christians is to stand up against this disparity that divides our world, our community, our own hearts, our own families. We stand against that disparity. And we not only take our rosy glasses off to see it, but we dare to shine a white hot spotlight on it. And we dare to do our best and our part to make it better, to ease those disparities, to bring people together, to build bridges, to use those cotton words in an age of sandpaper. Jip is such a good teacher, right? Our job is to loosen the net that holds whole generations down. Our job is to share the burden of those who carry a great load on their backs, some of them carrying that load for our sakes. Our job is never to allow people to ride over the heads of other people. A friend of mine, Bill Gamble, a friend of ours, at the bottom of his emails below his name are these words, "My country, right or wrong, if right, to be kept right, if wrong, to be put right." Those are good words for citizens, for Christians, for neighbors, for families, for individuals. Those are good words for people to live into and to grow into, to ask God's help. When Jesus tells us not to worry in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, what he's saying, of course, is, "I know the way to that wide, spacious place. I know the way, and I have prepared the way. I walk with you as together we will make our way to that place." Jesus knows the way out of this pandemic. I'll say that again. Jesus knows the way out of this pandemic. He knows the way through the fires and through the waters, all the way through hell and back. Thanks be to God. After Eric prays for us, and Eric, we need your prayers, Joe Grant will lead us in a hymn that I pray you'll sing loudly. I think it's the third verse that uses these words. Listen. Yes, on through life's long path, still charting as we go, from youth to age, by night and day, in gladness and in woe. We make this trek knowing that Jesus the Christ, by the power of God's Spirit, is with us, that Jesus guides our steps, that Jesus knows the way. And so today we get to sing, rejoice, give thanks, and sing. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.